From the Oklahoma studios, this is another edition of the Oklahoma's Varsity Podcast. I'm your host, Cameron Jordan. I'm here today with my co-hosts, Nick Sardis and James D. Jackson. Guys, another day, another podcast. How's it going?
Day. Yep, absolutely.
It's a little bit overcast Tuesday today we're recording. It's only been 4 days since we recorded the last podcast, but have a lot of information to get to you guys today. First off, we want to start out with about 24 hours from now, we have our Spring Sports Media Day, which is a really big day. We just want to give a reminder real quick to all the listeners about the Spring Sports Media Day for ADs, coaches, athletes who are listening. Anybody in the Oklahoma City area who can come to the Media Day, baseball, slow pitch softball, track, golf, tennis, soccer athletes, boys and girls, everybody in between, come out to the Media Day, come meet all of us. We're all going to be there. It's a great day for us to meet you. You guys fill out some information cards that we use throughout the entire season. Get your photos taken for some stories and stuff as well. That's a really big day. We're all going to be there. It's at Bishop McGinnis High School from 3:30 to 7:30 p.m. There's also information up on oklahoman.com about certain parking directions and stuff, but that's just a quick update to let you guys know about. We also had a big announcement on Sunday. We announced that Michael Phelps is going to be the guest speaker for the Oklahomans All-City Prep Sports Banquet come June 9th. I think he's been pretty successful in his career.
He's been all right.
Yeah,
I think he's been all right.
Yeah. I got to think, did he ever play any other sports growing up? 28-time Olympic medalist, 18-time gold medalist. Did he ever play any other sports growing up? Like, Phelps?
Surely he did. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean,
you would think he did.
Is he like? I don't know. I've obviously never seen him in person until June. Is he like smaller in stature? Or is he a bigger person?
Yeah, 6'4".
Oh. 6'4"?
Absolutely. I don't know how I know that, but I do.
Just off the top of the head.
I guess that's. I mean, that would make sense.
There's got to be some basketball in that then. Somewhere.
He's surely played basketball. Went from Blake Griffin last year to the almost basketball guard Michael Phelps, who has done pretty well for himself in the Olympics. But he's going to be the guest speaker for the Oklahoma's All-City Prep Sports Banquet come June 9th. That's going to be, I believe, at 6:30 at the Cox Convention Center. I feel like I would know that, but I just know the date, which is good enough for right now. But that's pretty big news. I'm really excited that he's going to be at the come. It's going to be cool to get to meet him. And I think there's going to be a few swimmers down in the Norman area who are particular. Not swimmers across the state are not going to be excited to meet him, but maybe a certain one who broke some of his records over the summer, his junior records. I think Aiden Hayes may be really excited to meet him. In fact, his mom quoted the original tweet on Twitter and was just losing her mind, essentially, and tagged like half the Norman swim team on it. So, yeah. Speaking of swimming, swimming regionals were this past weekend. There were two regionals at Jinx and Edmond, right?
Yes.
Those are the two sites. What were some of the results on that? I know that a bunch of local teams did really well.
Yeah, a bunch of good local teams. Obviously, Norman North, really dominated the 6A regional in Edmond. The boys team took first, girls team took second, and Edmond North, the girls team took first, and the boys team took second. And Carl Albert in 5A, boys and girls won 5A in the Edmond regional. And then going over to Jinx, 6A, not as many local teams that did well, but there were some good individuals. One of them that comes to mind is from Shawnee, Piper McNeil, only a freshman, but throughout the season consistently has had like some of the fastest times in the state. So that's kind of one swimmer to keep an eye on. And Hera in 5A did really well at Jinx. The girls took first and the boys were second, so.
And the state meet is next weekend up at Jinx on Friday and Saturday, correct?
It's February 21st and 22nd at Jinx. So that's not this week, but the next.
Yeah, next week, yeah. So, obviously, a bunch of stuff coming up. The first state championship week is coming up in, 3 days now up in Enid at the I forget what the name of the facility is. It's the I figured I'd have this off the top of my head. It's called the Stride Bank Center in Enid. Dual state wrestling. The brackets came out today. Top seed in every bracket. Broken Arrow in 6A, Collinsville in 5A, Tuttle in 4A, and Comanche in 3A. I don't know if we really want to make picks right now, but I feel like those top four seeds, especially Tuttle and Broken Arrow, are pretty outstanding. I think they're probably going to be the top teams to watch. In 5A, Collinsville and Skytook, who tied at regular state last year, they tied on team points, and they've already had an outstanding duel earlier this year. That could come down to possibly heavyweight or however they decide to, whenever they decide to start at that meet. So I think Dual State's going to be really interesting this week. Nick's going to be going up there on Saturday. We'll have a notebook for it off of Friday's results, and then we'll have coverage up there on Saturday. We had one question this week. Like I said, we're kind of moving along. We had one question this week from our friends out in Cashin. They wanted to know, when are we going to see a shot clock in high school basketball? Here's my answer. I don't think it's happening anytime soon. And I say that because it's too expensive. How are you gonna convince a Class B or Class A school that has like 15 kids total on its basketball team to invest $1,000, $2,000 to install the shot clock technology? Because that's frankly how expensive it is. So that's why I don't think it's going to be happening anytime soon. It just boils down to money. What about you guys?
I wonder if there's a way the refs can kind of signal, if they didn't have the shot clock, the refs could signal it, they could do it themselves. Because you know, in football, sometimes the clock goes off or whatever, and the refs can like signal the quarterback when you have like 10 seconds left or something like that. I wonder if there's a way that could happen.
So as a former back judge, I was the person who did that. If the play clock was running down, mm-hmm. Here's what we had. We all had buzzers on our hips that as soon as the white hat gave the ready for play, you'd click the buzzer to start the 25-second clock. Now it's obviously 40.
Mm-hmm.
So when there was 5 seconds left, the buzzer would buzz.
Mm-hmm.
When you got down to zero, it would buzz again. I always did that every single play, even if the clock was working or on the two or three games that I officiated that the play clock didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier to do that in football because it's not as fast-paced. You can manually reset it all the time. In basketball, it'd be really, really hard, especially if you're only running a two-man crew, because you have to remember to reset it every single time that the ball hits the rim. And that's another thing, too.
So it'd be possible. It's just difficult.
It would be
difficult.
Possible.
It's more
it would
difficult
be
for the referees.
Extremely difficult.
Okay.
Plus, you'd be opening up to scrutiny if you have some hometown officials, or that just opens so much more scrutiny. But and that's another thing. You got to pay somebody to run the shot clock too. You have to get somebody else in there to be able to run the shot clock. So that's just more money that schools are going to have to spend.
Yeah.
So,
I bet there's an app for that.
There's got to be. I'm sure there's something. I'm sure it's easy technology to add in, but just the cost of it is what is dramatic. I mean, there's been a couple situations this year where I've seen teams stall ball, just hold the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there's some teams traditionally that have done it all the time. I'm not going to call anybody out on the podcast, but I know that there's some teams that traditionally have done it, but. It happens. I mean, that is a thing in Oklahoma high school basketball. Go to the state tournaments here in 2 weeks, 3 weeks. You will see stall ball. It's going to happen because teams want to get the advantage, whether it's just standing around for 2 minutes waiting for halftime, or if they have an advantage in the fourth quarter, they're going to do whatever they can to stall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got a short story to tell, and I've told it a million times, but I'm going to tell it again. Okay, so this was, I believe it was 2006. I wasn't old. I was probably like 10 years old or something, but... Norman North against Edmond Santa Fe in the finals. Can't remember if we were in state yet or if it was regionals. Can't remember. But my sister played obviously was on the girls team, but the boys team was playing Edmond Santa Fe, and Edmond Santa Fe was loaded. Cameron Jordan, you're an Edmond Santa Fe alum, but I don't know.
What year was that? They have Courtney Walker that year.
No, I'm talking. This is the boys' game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so this was when they had Obi Manilo.
Oh, this was a while ago. Yeah, I played against Obi Manilo in a student teacher basketball game. Not to get too distracted, they brought him out at halftime
really?
When they were down by 15, and there were 20 kids playing, so 5 for each quarter. I was playing in the third quarter, and I got matched up against Obi Manilo.
Are you interrupting his story with your story?
Short story.
This is a good one, though.
Continue.
No, go ahead.
That's it. They brought him out, and then they were no longer down after the third quarter, even though I scored a couple times. So. But
okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. So Santa Fe, they were huge. I mean, they were favorites. They, you know, Norman North was the big underdog coming into the game, and this was a 3 overtime game. And in one of the overtimes, Edmond Santa Fe, and I believe it was Obi Manilo, literally held the ball the entire overtime. Waited for like the last, you know, 10-15 seconds or so to start a play. And they had a guy run around. They kind of swung a pass to him to shoot a 3, and then he missed it. And then Norman North, you know, ended up coming out on top. It was a huge upset, huge win. But I'll never forget that overtime where they literally just stood there the entire time. Probably – go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, that reminds me, last year at the state tournament, I cannot remember what team it was off the top of my head right now. Like at the end of the third quarter, like there was, well, I say at the end, there was like 3 minutes, 30 seconds left, which is 3-minute overtime. It was like a 3 minute, 30 seconds left, and this team got the ball, drove it across half court, started running a play, and then the girl just kind of went to the corner, caught the pass, just stopped, looked at her coach just nodded. She nodded back, and they stood there for 3 minutes and ran it down. It's about 15 seconds and ran a play. But yeah. They hit a three.
Yeah.
But they milked the clock that much and gave themselves a little bit more advantage going into half.
Yeah.
This is why it's my belief that they should have a shot clock. I mean, the whole point of this is to get them ready for college if they can get there. And you got to train them to be able to, you know, go with a shot clock, because that's what you're going to face in college anyway. And it's more entertaining.
I want a shot clock as well. Cam, do you want a shot clock or no? Oh. Don't tell me if it's realistic or, you know, any.
Just your personal opinion.
Would you like to see one?
I think for the game, I think if they went to like a 35-second one, like the old college shot clock, I think that'd be good. Even a 40-second.
Even 40, just something so they're not stalling.
Yeah, there's no reason you can't get a shot off in over half a minute. Come on.
I think for the game, for the best sake of the game, a shot clock would be good, yes.
Yeah, okay.
The biggest thing, though, like obviously our opinions, frankly, that's just sitting here talking.
Yeah.
What's crazy is in talking with David Glover, who's an assistant director at the OSSAA, and he's in charge of basketball, more than half the coaches in the state still don't want a shot clock. That's what amazes me. Hmm. And you think about that, and it's like, there's no way. I remember talking to him about this a couple months ago because the shot clock discussion always comes up at the beginning of basketball season and always comes up at the state tournament. And he had mentioned to me that they every once in a while they go to their area meetings and whatnot, and they talk with the coaches. And coaches still are not in favor of a shot clock. So until the coaches get on board, and here's the deal too. It's just a matter of fact. The older coaches do not have any want to with shot clock because they've played their entire careers, coached their entire careers.
I can see the advantage. I mean,
of never having one.
Yeah, you get to play at the pace that you want to play it. So if you're not a fast break team and you're very slow pace, I mean, it's very beneficial. But I don't understand why
it makes it easier as a coach.
Yeah,
definitely. So
what do you think about zone defenses? I also have a pet peeve about that.
Hey, whatever defense you want to run is up to you.
I couldn't care less.
Oh, yeah, really?
I really
if
don't
a team
care.
Wants
oh, really?
If a team wants to run a zone defense, I'll swing the ball till I get an open 3-pointer on the wing.
Yeah, whatever defense you want to run is fine. But holding the ball for five minutes.
I have a personal
that I don't like.
I don't like zone defenses. I mean, like I said, it's trying to get them to the NBA and they're all like, there's not enough guys that know how to play man to man defense. And a lot of times in high school, we're not playing man to man defense. We're just playing zone. And it's how are you really learning how to play defense if you're in a zone?
Well, here's the deal, and you got to think about this. Even at the best high school, so take your best teams in the state right now, boys or girls. There's probably only one or two true legit standout players on a team. Sometimes not even that many.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get a team that's like, I'm just going to throw this out for example, Kingfisher, Booker T, Dell City, a team that has five dudes who are really good and can go out and play at every position, against a team that's maybe middle of the pack in one of those classes, who their fourth and fifth guy aren't as good as the other fourth and fifth guy, you can't trust them to play man defense on the fourth and fifth guy because they're going to get pick and rolled, switched, and get destroyed. That's why you stick to zone defense, because even the you can play zone defense with a bunch of average Joes and have success.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I think
I understand the reason for it. I just personally don't like it because they're never going to get better at man defense if they don't work on it.
Well, yeah, I agree 100%.
I mean, it's not like the court is spread out. That I mean, a 3-point line is not as far as the NBA, so it's not spread out too far. Where you're on an island basically out there, but you know. Play man-to-man duties. That's what I would say.
This is another story going back to the shot clock violation. So back in my dad went to high school in New Mexico, and there was a team that had won like 12 or 13 straight girls' basketball titles, a town like 20, 30 minutes away from where he grew up. So what they did, they were winning state championships 12-4, 16-8, something ridiculous numbers.
Ridiculous.
So what they do, they were so good that they would get up by 8, 10 points in the first 5-6 minutes of the game,
mm-hmm.
and then they would pass the ball around the next three quarters. That's all they would do. They'd get the ball and just pass it around. They got so good at running like a 3-man weave and just all this stuff. And looking at the scores of these games, they were averaging like 18 points in a season per game and winning state championships. How can you imagine sitting through a game? Can you imagine being a coach of that team? or a parent of that team or someone who runs the score for that team, watching that for like 15 straight years, that would drive me bonkers. I would put a shot clock up myself.
I couldn't imagine because I wouldn't do it.
I just, that is, to me, that's when it's like, okay, you got to do something. But then you're just tinkering with basketball because that's, it's in the rules to do it. That's why teams do it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't say, well, you can't do that because there's no way really to enforce it.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, you have the 5 second count, which there's back to your point. Play good enough man defense, stand in front of somebody for 5 seconds, boom, you get the ball back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of, that's something that I don't fully understand. Is that with the shot clock stuff, if you have someone who's holding the ball, go pressure them. Now, I know when you pressure them like that, you give up opportunities for other stuff to happen, but go pressure them and they can't hold the ball. If you don't want them to hold the ball, then go do something about it. Right?
Well, you do, and then they pass it off.
It'll end up in a foul or something, you know? It's like, you don't get any benefit, I guess.
Well, I mean, yeah. Well, you guys probably agree with this. Usually when you have a team who's holding the ball, they have the person up top. Usually the person up top has the ball. They have two guys on the sides, and then they'll have two kind of down low, three-point area, kind of on the baseline.
Mm.
So usually if you come up press to that first one, they're going to pass it left or right. And then it just becomes, like you say, like a three-man weave or something where those three try to intermingle with the ball. If you give them enough pressure, they're going to make a mistake.
Yeah,
now, at the same time, your defense is going to make mistakes too, and that's how you get 5-on-4, someone's open for a three-pointer, which is going to happen if you pressure the ball. It's basketball. But if you don't like it that much, don't like someone holding the ball for all of overtime, even if it's Obi Mannello, go pressure them.
Well,
even if it's Trey Alexander or Bijan Cortez or someone.
I think they did pass it off a little bit, but he did he held
for
it
most
for
the time.
A long time, yeah.
Yeah, if you don't want Bryce Thompson holding the ball waiting for the clock to take down, or Aaliyah Moore or Shante Embry or someone, go pressure them. Like, if you don't want Dariana Littlepage Bugs just sitting up there staring you down because you know she's going to do something disrespectful to you, go pressure her. That's what I mean. I don't know. I know it's a lot more complicated than that, and maybe I'll have some coaches get mad at me for thinking that out loud, but I just feel like that's the case. Like, if you don't like it, go pressure them. Because then they can't hold it. Then they're forced to do something. Now, of course, you're forced to actually play defense, too. You can't just stand there with your hands on your hips and lollygagging around, but I just feel like that it would make more sense if you went and pressured the ball a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I'd still like to see a shot clock.
I do think a shot clock would be
good. That's what it boils down to.
I do think a shot clock would be good, but I don't think it's coming for a really long time.
No,
I don't think we'll have a shot clock in Oklahoma basketball in the next 10 years.
Yeah, probably not.
The cost is the biggest reason why.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, like, how much does it really cost to?
Well, the system, they'd have to, first off, they'd have to get everybody in on the system.
I mean, if we can't pay teachers, then we probably can't pay for a shot clock.
This is true.
And that's the thing. You got to get these small schools to be like, hey, we have to spend $2,000 to get a shot clock. And then they have to spend an extra however much they pay their scorekeepers for 15 home games, and that's boys and girls, so 30 home games. Plus, do you put junior high on the shot clock too? I don't know. I wouldn't think so. I think you probably put that in at the freshman / JV high school level, but it's just there's so many little things that aren't really that hard to figure out. Do you want the shot clock, yes or no? Do you want – if you do, then here's – A, B, C that you're going to have to do.
Well, we know we can get it in, like, state tournaments or something like that, because it's always at a bigger gym, right?
It depends, because, I mean, if it's not – it doesn't really get to the big gyms until the Big House or the Maybe Center, which the Maybe Center is ORU's, so they have it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and you can't implement something in the state tournament that you're not doing the whole season.
That's a big thing, too. If you're going to do it, you got to do it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think it would be best for the game, but I don't think it's happening anytime soon. Unfortunately.
Yep.
Because like you said, I don't mind it when we're on deadline and someone's sitting there holding the ball and just milking the clock and we're already behind and all of a sudden we're ahead. I'm like, okay, sweet, let's do it. Because that happened to me about a week and a half ago. Someone ran like the last 3 minutes off the fourth quarter. All right. Makes it happy for me. But at the same time, it's kind of like it just kind of stinks. But
yeah.
Coaches are paid to win, I feel like. So, I mean.
Do what you got to do to win.
Yep.
That's the, yeah.
If that's holding the ball and winning.
And playing zone defense.
Yeah. 27-25. All right. And playing zone defense.
I'm going to get ripped for that. Watch.
somebody's going to come after you. Well, do you guys have anything else to add?
Special shout out to Rick Wilson at Duke for getting his 900th career win.
900 wins last night. Yep. That's wins. That's I believe there's only been two girls coaches to eclipse that mark before last night.
He's a third now.
So. And then we have Rocky Clark at Washington's right on his heels, too.
Yep, one win away.
So Had a chance last night, didn't get it, but you were out there.
Yeah, I was out
You
there.
Said Birch
yeah.
Creek has good facilities, didn't
Great
you?
Facility. Great people, too. I mean, they were very nice.
Shout out Birch Creek.
Very nice people, yeah.
The Birch Creek Bobcats are in the dual state wrestling tournament this weekend. They had their first ever two state champions last year in the individual tournament, but no, like you said, just make sure you guys stay tuned to oklahoman.com for all of our content. We have so much stuff coming out over these next few weeks. It's a really busy time, so make sure you stay tuned for all of us for all your wrestling, swimming, and basketball coverage needs. Make sure you guys tweet out some questions to us if there's anything you want us to discuss. Obviously, we just talked for 15 minutes about shot clocks and high school basketball and Obi Manello and everything
That's
in between.
Right.
So if, whatever you guys have, just make sure you tweet at us. It's Cam_Jordan, Nick_Sardis, and JamesDJackson15. So make sure you guys just send us a tweet. We'll all be out at some games tonight. Nick is going to be at Moore Norman.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be awesome.
The girls' game, Shantae Ambry versus Aaliyah Moore, both number one versus number five, right?
Much more than that, my man.
Number one versus number five? Well, I know, but those two are the stars.
Well, I mean, Norman High's got about five stars.
Yeah.
And then Moore's got, you got also had Rachel Harjo, Ashanti Day. I mean, there's a bunch of big time names in that game.
I mean, it really is going to be a big time game.
And not that the boys' game is going to be good, but the girls' game is the highlight of what's happening down there tonight.
Well, actually, shout out to Jerry Dockery, assistant coach on the Moore boys team. He says the boys team doesn't get enough respect, so let's give the Moore boys team some respect. They're pretty good.
They're pretty good. I saw them last week for the first time. It was a really good game against Mustang. Mustang came out on top. They got a few more points at the end, but though it was a fun game to watch for sure.
Jerry was on that Norman North team against Obi Manila. I'm dead serious. He was on that team. He was a good shooter. He was a good player. So
yeah, they won the game. So
they did win the game.
James, where are you headed?
They shut down Obi that game.
Back to the alma mater. Going to Carl Albert tonight. Haven't seen Carl Albert or Shawnee all season, so now's the time to do it.
Before we really get into the playoffs. Yeah.
And the boys game is number three versus number four, so
that's awesome.
Very good matchup.
Should be pretty good, I would hope so. I'm heading up to Kingfisher. I'm not doing so much game coverage tonight. I'm kind of writing for working on a story in the future about their star, Bijan Cortez, who recently committed to OU. Going to write just a little bit about him, and I'll have more on that here coming up shortly. But that's where I'll be headed tonight. They're hosting Elgin, so I'm kind of sad that I have to drive by Aishin's because I would love to grab a chicken on the way by, but I can't finish it all myself. And I don't want to sit in my car just making my car smell like Aishin's chicken.
What is it? So. Aishin's?
Aishin's? Hey, whoa.
Oh,
whoa.
You don't know what Aishin's
is? Aishin's?
What's that there?
All right, here's a history lesson.
It's in Okarchee.
It's Oklahoma's oldest bar. It's in Okarchee, but they also serve one of the best fried chickens in the world. Fried chicken, okra, nachos, I mean, you name it. There's no silverware, no plates.
You'll go one of these days. You'll cover something in Okarchee.
You did not know what Aishin's was.
No.
Next opportunity you have to cover an Okarchee game, just go there.
You were the second person who I've met or talked to today that did not know what Aishin's was. So
I'm not weird then.
You are welcome. Well, this person was from Missouri, so it makes sense. You're a Carl Albert kid.
Yes.
That doesn't make any sense. but just make sure you guys tune in next week for our next episode, and you can follow all of our coverage obviously on Twitter, Facebook, whatever you guys use to read the paper. Also, I hope you read the paper still, digital or the print copy, and then obviously on oklahoman.com as well. For Nick Sardis, James D. Jackson, I'm Cameron Jordan. Thanks for listening.